can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Make your voice heard. Join the Council for the Model Aquatic Health Code. Lend your expertise to the MAC, science-based guidance from the CDC, and the only all-inclusive national pool code that addresses current aquatic issues. Learn more at cmahc.org. That's cmahc.org.
And welcome to Tuesdays with Kelly and Dan. This week, we actually have Heather with me today since... Oh my God. What was that? What was that?
Brittany, I feel you on this. Oh my God.
Huh? Let's try that again, Rudy.
Okay.
Welcome to Tuesdays with Kelly and Dan. This week, we talked to Heather from Tuesdays with Heather. Say hi.
You're cutting out really bad. Like, I'm hearing every other word.
Am I? I can go into my living, my kitchen. Maybe we need to do that.
All right, try that.
Because kitchen, I can plug right into.
Yeah, you're lagging really bad. Oh, I just got a message from... Somebody is like, I got a job in Roanoke, which is a 45-minute away. Master tip heater, customer's complaining they smells gas.
Call the gas company.
No shit.
Like, how old is the pool?
I don't know. I'm just trying to call, they smell gas, they call a gas company out ASAP.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do? Like, you could put a meter on it, but that, when you, aren't you supposed to, like, when you smell gas, you call the gas.
Right, I'm like, if it's not, I told him, I was like, if it's not running, if they smell gas, then they call a gas company out ASAP in case there is an emergency, or shut off the gas line ASAP, if it's not running, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so I have to leave my, if I have to leave my house right now to go do that shit, 7 o'clock
emergency
at night almost.
Me. I double my rate if you want me to come out after sometime.
Oh my God. They smell it when they turn the heater on. Are you kidding me?
3, 2, 1, fight.
Hey, welcome to Tuesdays with Kelly and Dan. So today we are lucky and we get to have Heather come join us.
Hi guys and gals.
Mr. Dan is in Puerto Vallarta for the Latham Convention. So while me and Heather are freezing our asses off, he's hanging out by the pool and by the ocean. So
lucky assholes
there. Hey, I found okay. So recently with all the snow, I follow like the National Parks Facebook page. And one of the national parks here is doing what's it called? Snowshoeing. But you get it's at the Donner Lake Memorial, so the Donner Party, they take you on a tour while you're snowshoeing of what the Donner Party went down. So
what is snowshoeing? Like, you get snowshoes and you, like, walk in the snow?
Yeah, like, you have your boots, and there's these shoes that you get. Well, they really don't look like shoes. They kind of remind me of
tennis rackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they help you not sink in the snow as you go. Never been, but I think it'd be fun. And I love history, so a little Donner Party history is kind of cool. Me and my friend that are going to do it, she's like, don't worry, I won't eat you. I'm like, oh, good. Well, let's bring plenty of snacks, but not share with anybody.
As I'm eating Cheetos right now. I love my Cheetos.
But then she found one that is in Colorado, which is a snowshoeing and wine tasting.
Oh, drunk-ass people walking in the snow, my type of deal.
I'm like, maybe we should cancel the Donner Party one and head to Colorado for the wine drinking. Exactly. We'll forget about how cold it is.
Just layer up. That snowsuit I sent everybody, I really want. I still want that damn thing. So like, oh, buddy, the snowsuit. Yeah, that looks really cool.
And how often are you going to wear that?
Probably every day.
Oh, with the way weather's been there, yeah.
I know.
As a lot of you know from our, what was it called? The Americans Are Coming episode last Monday, Heather has been feeling the death pool.
Yes, definitely the death pool. Everything about this pool has been issue after issue on this build. And here we are, and I'm thinking, we're going to have no more issues. Plaster's done. We just got to do our final little punch list. Be done. This motherfucking pool. God damn it.
You have to have at least one of these pools a year in your life.
This is it. This is like my pool for the next 3 years, and I'm done.
Oh, my gosh. So the last you told us was it was green, and your reagents were bad.
We didn't find that out till like 10 days later. Plaster the pool. Fill the pool up. I'm a sequestration agent, as always. StarTech is what I use, right? Fill that bitch up. Circulate it. It's normal cloudiness, you know, after plaster. No big deal. Day three, not clearing up. What the f***? Well, I added phosphate remover on day four because my phosphates were high because we had mulch and stuff going in. We had, no chlorine for day four. So it's when I start my chlorine. Day four, because that's MPC's startup, right? Then, of course, adjust alkalinity, so on and so forth, lower the pH, blah, blah, blah. So get all this going, and it's just not clearing up. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? God damn it. Temperature's super cold. I'm just like, all right, we're on day like eight. It's still cloudy as shit. Super cloudy, like I can't even see the main drains. It's gotten worse. I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm group texting, you know, all of us, which is like Wayne, Dan, Andrea, you, me, Rudy, Chris, like all of us are in this big group text message. I'm like, all right, what the fuck am I doing wrong? Of course, Wayne, first thing, what's the metal content, Heather? Motherfucker, the one time I didn't check it. I don't know, Wayne. I didn't check it. Check the metals. And it's got copper.
Who knows what else?
And I added phosphate remover. So between cold temperature, Arinda phosphate remover, and copper, my pool was not clearing up. I cleaned that filter twice. I added the filter aid to it. I added so much shit just over and over. Well, finally, I'm like, something's still wrong. It's still wrong. So I'm taking a test to Leslie's. F***ing chlorine is at 14. Goddamn 14 on day 10. I am like, what the hell? No way, because I only added 2 tabs and 2 pounds of shock. Maybe 3, you know, between day 4 and day 10 or whatever day I'm at when I took it to Leslie's. There's no way this goddamn pool is at 14 and my cyanuric is at 10. 10, mind you. I'm like, no way. What's the last time you calibrated the spin lab? This ain't fucking right. All the other agents are correct with what I'm getting on my test kit. Motherfucker. Alright, so then I run to SCP. I get all new reagents. Every fucking one of them brand new. Go back to the job site. And sure damn enough, my chlorine is through the damn roof. I'm like, god damn it. So back to SCP I go to get chlorine reducer. So I did 16 ounces of chlorine reducer, and that took 3 days to get from 14 to 3. Get that cleared out. Now I'm treating copper. I have no chlorine. I'm treating copper. I'm adjusting my pH and my alkalinity. The bitch is finally starting to clear out like 3 days later. I'm still going every day, even though I'm supposed to be done with every day. I'm still constantly
I think
going.
You're going like for 3 weeks every day almost.
I went for like a month every f***ing day, and I should have only gone for like 2 weeks and been done with it.
Now, one thing that I guess you could say as something I thought of after we were done with the whole ordeal. Well, you're not really done with it. We'll call it the chemical portion of the death pool. You had mentioned that when you tested your fill water, it was a 7.
pH, yes. I didn't think 7, yeah, pH.
Okay. So I was thinking about it. For people who do a lot of startups, you usually know roughly what the area is pH-wise. Maybe in the future, that could be one of those signs that when you're doing anybody is doing a startup, if you're getting something that's a little bit odd than your normal, you know, test, which for you, you just do the startups. You don't do weekly service. So it's not like you're using that reagent every single day, all day long.
No.
And you had...
But I tested the fill water, but I didn't test the motherfucking copper and iron.
No, you didn't do that. So yeah, that could always be one thing that you could try out is, hey, you're like, this is awfully low. Because I remember you saying this. Why is it so low?
Yeah, I was like, what the...
And so for future, anybody who has that where they're like, hey, this doesn't seem right, that could be a sign of, okay, maybe there's something wrong with at least that reagent. Because, you know, they go bad all the time. I use it regularly, obviously not as much as like a pool service, but they go bad. And then when you have like, I know you take your test kit in like every day after you said that you talked to Wayne once.
Oh, years ago. Yeah, years ago.
Because, yeah, you with that big freeze, you guys, well, I don't know if it's a big freeze compared to the one you had like last year, but those can mess up your reagents. Like, you'll be like, oh, no big deal. It's inside my truck. No, like, you got to bring that inside. If you don't bring it inside, you're running a risk of having to replace all your reagents, you know.
Oh, yeah. Everything. Your water test has got to be over 50 degrees to get an accurate reading. And a lot of people misconstrue that, or they don't pay attention or whatever, and they just go, or if it's too hot, you know, if it's too hot when you're testing, you got to let it cool off. Same if it's too cold, you got to let it chill. And of course, you know, I've taken my Lamont tester and make sure my water temperature is where it's supposed to be. And if not, I took a fucking and went and sat in my truck for 30 minutes playing on my phone, bullshitting with y'all. And then testing my water, I'm like, this son of a bitch is waiting for that water temperature to warm up, because phosphate remover does do well when it's, you know, when it's under 60 degrees. So I'm waiting for that shit to warm up before I add it, because it's going to cloud that damn pool up again. And I'm like, oh my God.
It will. Yeah, it definitely will. Now, so people know there are certain chemicals that you put into water, and you really do need to know, like she said, what's the minimum temperature this product's going to work in this pool? Because not all of them are going to work correctly. For example, one thing that I'm very aware of is you're usually not going to get a very accurate CYA test when it's too cold out. That's one of them. Phosphate remover. Sometimes even pH is affected by temperature as well. So any product that you guys put into your pools, you need to know everything about it, because you would hate for this to happen where you put the phosphate remover and then you're like, what the fuck?
Phosphates combined with iron is not a good deal, guys. Just f***ing test it.
So she finally realized the reagents were bad, she had this high chlorine.
F***ing sky high. Luckily, it was only there, 4 days, because that's when I went and checked it. But still, it's pebble. Thank God it was not quartz.
Yes. Bad. Yes. Or even like basic plaster. That's one nice thing.
Basic plaster. Basic plaster, I could fix that shit. Quartz?
Yeah, pebble is probably one of the most forgiving surfaces you can work on. Like, you have a little bit of leeway in how things are done. Obviously, still use the recommended startup per the manufacturer, because, you know, you mess up, they're going to go after you. But, yeah, no. Quartz, I love quartz in that aspect.
Yep, I've only had one issue with quartz that was actually a manufacturer issue, and everybody that knows me knows I'm OCD with taking notes and doing startup and adding exactly what I add and my ratio, water ratio, mixio with what silicates we add to the plaster as hardeners and softeners for the trowel smooth and all that. So I had all that. And we had to submit a warranty claim on it. And the rep was like, you really have all of this? I'm like, yes, I have all of this. And we had cameras set up. So I had cameras everywhere. So I gave them all of it. And they're like, I've never had an applicator be this detailed in anything. I'm like, yeah, so that tells me you're going to cover it, right? Because this is not my doing. I know when it's my doing, and this is not my doing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'd want to be as thorough as freaking possible, because if something goes wrong, that's not a cheap fix. That's a major, like, oh my God. I had a customer. He got his surface replastered, and he used a company that was not me, that the plaster company recommended to do the startup. Well, 3 years later, the plaster company, the owner of the company, comes out, scuba dives into the pool, put his hand up against one of the walls, and it caved in. They found out later that that company never put calcium in the pool, ever, during the startup. Not at the beginning, so not in the middle, not at the end. And so they had to replaster the whole thing. It was like $8,000 that they had to do for free. And which made my life a living hell with the customer, because he had this horrific thing happen, and he is so paranoid it's going to happen again. And so, what is it? 2 years later, like a couple months ago, the owner of the pool contacts me, is like, can I please get your records when you did service on my pool? And I hadn't done service on his pool for 6 months prior to this. And I didn't respond, because that just is a little like, okay, right, what's going on?
Yeah, why do you want records?
And then he's like, can I please get those from you? Because I'm suing the plaster company because we're getting nodules on the pool. And I'm like,
Bonkoop.
I'm not doing that. I didn't respond. Like if I'm subpoenaed the records, I'll do that. But where I'm at, people are very cautious of getting involved in that stuff, because word gets around. Like I have records of everything I did. And even after the startup was done, I did service, and we had a couple issues where like the calcium was leaching. And so because my calcium kept going up and went stop. So we contacted them. They told us to raise our calcium level to 400. And I'm like, can I have that in writing?
Right. Yeah.
Like I'll do whatever the plaster company wants, but I need it in writing, because my LSI was perfect and I don't know what happened. But once we did that, and then I added boric acid to the pool, it stopped it right then and there. Nothing else happened during the time I was there. And I was there for another 6 months. So my concern is, it's not like my customer that I'm doing every week currently is asking me for records. It's somebody who hasn't had service on their pool for 6 months. So I don't know what they've done.
And it's so hard, because the compound of boric acid, right, is going to be your boron, oxygen, and hydrogen formula. So when you have that, it's also hydrogen borate. So that also helps eliminate all that calcium shit that goes on. But if you don't catch it in time,
yes,
you're screwed.
Yeah.
You can't. It's already gone.
Like when they said bring it up to 400, I'm like, Jesus, that's high. Like, okay, if that's what you want, whatever. But yeah, that,
like,
customer.
Why?
Oh, I had a plaster company once tell me to add 13 gallons of acid to their pool that they had just done.
They need to be in the homeowners group with Andrea.
And I was like, I've already put, because it was a quartz pool. Mm-hmm. And they plastered this pool on a super windy day, like a day you should not be plastering the pool. So like you could see on the wall where the plaster was drying up before they could smooth it out. And
they didn't keep it wet?
No, it looked horrible. They had to come and they had to fix one of the steps because it had a hole in it where one of these, you know, rough areas was, so the pool was draining. It was horrible. Oh, they also didn't plaster good enough to the main drain cover, so the spa was leaking as well. So just all these things. And so on that particular surface on quartz, I do a hot start, because that's where I am. They're not doing acid washes on quartz. They just don't.
Wow.
And they're lazy, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's just a standard thing where I live. And it's like, okay, I have to do the hot start because they're not doing an acid wash.
Well, maybe because they're afraid, especially with quartz, especially like the Blue Lagoon or something, it's going to completely look like shit. Because if you don't know how to acid wash a pool properly, especially quartz,
yeah,
you're going to f*** that up.
And this one was supposed to be black.
Oh, yeah.
So I did it. It looked gorgeous. But there were a couple spots where it just didn't expose as much as it should have been. But when I do a hot start, I will not go over 7 days, period. I also won't put 13 gallons of acid in at once.
Right. Bypass you know. The heater, disconnect anything so, yeah, else.
They're like, put 13 gallons of acid. So after I've already added 8 gallons of acid, which should be more than enough for this size pool.
Correct.
They're like, oh, we want you to add 13 more. I'm like, over my dead body.
On top of the 8?
Yes, on top of the 8. And I'm like, no, I'll put like 3 more in, but that's it. I won't put any more in. So I did the 3 more. It brought down the pH as much as I wanted to. We got it looking good again. But yeah, I was like, 13 gallons of acid? Are you asking me to just like lose this entire pool? Because my sister, she had a pool she took over after startup. And they needed improvement, so the builder came back, or had the plaster company come back, and they put too much acid in the spa to where you took your hand to the side of it and just sand came off as you were wiping it. So those are things that will happen if you add too much acid to a pool.
Just some of the things.
Yeah, just some of the things. Be careful. If you don't know how, like, don't do a hot start if you don't know how to do it.
Hot starts
honestly,
are tricky.
Stick to the NPC. They give you a guideline. They have instructions. You know, when you do hot starts, you have to be out there every single day, feeling the surface, checking the chemicals. Like, it's not just like, oh, let's throw some chemicals in there, brush it, and hope for the best. Like, no, there's a lot of details in it, and you can mess it up really easily. I learned from very old people, because that's the way they used to do it back in the day.
Old people.
Yeah, so, you know, people have been doing it for 30, 40 years, but I have seen people where they do it and they're like, oh, I'll come day 1 and day 4.
Mm-mm.
No, you're...
The whole point of Heart Star is to brush this shit off, and if you don't get it going off, I'm gonna have... It's gonna have a...
Right.
Oh God, a major acidic going on, and then you're gonna have calcium nodules because your plaster is gonna start to delaminate because the bond coat's gonna start to fail.
Mm-hmm. So like,
you're leaching that plaster, the calcium off of it.
So like when I do it, I go every day, check the chemicals, make sure they're where they need to be. I'm not zeroing out the pH.
Right.
But
it shouldn't be.
You know, and then I'm feeling the surface, because if I start feeling that surface is not super smooth like it should be.
Did he hear just him? Say? Did he just say?
If he did, I didn't notice.
I would. I was like, glad I'm not the only kid that does that.
Oh, Max will flip us off.
That's hilarious.
Oh, and Max does it perfect. Like, so hard for you not to laugh perfect. But yeah, I'm feeling. So back to where we were. I'm feeling the surface. So if, let's say it's not smooth at day 3, I'm bringing it up at day 3. Okay, so when I go back to the pool each day, I feel the surface. If I feel the surface not as smooth as it was, you know, day 1 or 2, and I start thinking that it's not smooth, I immediately bring up the pH. I'm not there to rough up that surface. They're on a quartz surface to help even it out, since a lot of these plaster companies do not acid wash them. I wish they would. That would make my job so much easier.
It would eliminate so many issues that go on because I get they don't want to, but you've got to understand when you're working with quartz, especially, you've got to. The only quartz that I don't acid wash is going to be a white quartz. If it's white quartz, I don't acid wash because I don't have aggregate to expose.
Right.
So when you don't have that aggregate to expose, there's no need for that. So you're wasting it. So you're pulling that surface off, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's just when the silicates are inside of the dark color and then they're afraid to do it because they don't want a ton of modeling. Well, that's where you've got to start doing either a pool wash or you've got to train your guys to do an acid wash properly. Yep. So when we do acid washes, I have between 2 to 3 guys there doing an acid wash. So it's not like it's one guy doing it to help eliminate that ring around the surface and making sure we've got one person doing the acid, the other one throwing bicarb down, the other one with the hose, you know, to make sure it's all circulating with another pump that's at the bottom that's circulating and dumping it back out, you know, so it's not in one spot and you got plastic laid down. So it's a whole ordeal.
Yeah. No, and I agree. Like, that could get a lot of liability off of it if you would just do it. Because this pool where they won the 13 gallons, the customer kept complaining, I don't see the blue stones we added to it. And I'm like, blue stones.
Wait a minute. You added stone to quartz?
I didn't. No, that's how they described it. So they had added like a blue sparkle to it. I don't know. This is just what they added. And the only reason I know it is because after I did the 3 more, they were like, oh, I see it now. And I'm like,
I wonder if it's the reflection series, quartz reflection.
I would think it would be more of, yeah, it'd be more like that. Don't know what their brand is or whatever, but the customer was happy once they were able to see that on the steps. I was like, thank God. I'm like, I did let you know it's going to take a couple months for this to really expose properly if taken care of properly. Which, to be honest, I don't think it is, because I get phone calls from the pool service regularly about it starting to scale.
Oh, you want to? So we were group texted with one of our clients that we did the start. We did a plaster on, and the client decided to do their own startup because we told the client we're not going to do the startup because they're too far away. It would have been like an hour and 15 minute drive one way.
Oh yeah, that's not worth it.
And I'm like, unless you want to pay me, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 to do the startup, it's because we're there every day for a minimum of 14 to 15 days.
Yeah.
And then once a week for another 30 days. And then you still have to brush the pool, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they're like, well, we'll just do it ourselves. Send me the card. So I send them the MPC card. Okay. Then I guess he hired his local pool company to do it. They group texted me in this local pool company, and they were sending me photos, and I'm very detailed, right? So I sent valves before I was grouped, like, because I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I sent this to the homeowner. I called him on plaster day. I'm like, hey, just a reminder, I know you're not here. Don't let this fall over, Phil.
I hear you.
And then 3, make sure you have it in pool mode and your valves are correct before you fire it up. No problem. Got it. Gave him specific instructions. Well, fall is not overspilling at all. I'm like, send me the picture of the valves. Sure damn enough, the return is off to the spa completely. And I'm like, that spa has been sitting there for 6 days with a very high pH.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I'm not responsible for that. This is what needs to happen. And I'm in a group text at this point. And the homeowner's bitching at the new client and the contractor. The contractor's like, well, I didn't touch the valves and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, we sent you a picture of exactly how I left the valves. And I told the homeowner to tell whoever does it, make sure they turn the valves correct. I said, however, you're a pool professional. Anytime that spa's not spilling over and it's in pool mode, you have an issue. But your issue is because you didn't check the return side. Like, you didn't check the valves.
Was this like his first startup ever, or?
No, he's just an idiot.
Oh my. I hired this other company off of the list from the plaster company, and they came for one day and then they never came back and we can't get a hold of them. And I was like, well, I'll help you, but you have to sign this piece of paper saying I'm not liable for anything that resulted from the lack of service. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. And again, it was pebble, and it was white pebble. So, okay, we're...
And you know, white pebble is actually cheaper than quartz. Did you know that?
I can believe that.
Have you heard there is a group of pool service professionals nationwide that are here to help grow and protect your business? The Independent Pool and Spa Service Association, known as IPSA, is here to help you. By joining the largest trade organization created by and for pool and spa service techs, you gain access to industry networking opportunities, exclusive educational offerings, IPSA's Tech for Tech route coverage, and more. So be independent, supported, and part of a professional community. Go to IPSSA.com to learn how to be a member of IPSA today.
Well, no, before then, the guy wasn't digging it correctly, wasn't it?
Yep. My excavator. Let's just start from the beginning.
Rudy, have fun editing this one.
You're going to get multiple from this. Anyway. But. Okay, so. Day one. Before dig date's even done. I get the land survey out there with the pier company. Right, because we're going to outline the pool. Get that started. I don't know why I didn't check the back patio of the fucking pool. At all. Oh, you're fine. Okay. Cut, start. So, let's just start whenever we go to get the survey out there to outline the pool to get ready for piers. Because this pool had to have piers. Because the soil was shit. So we do cast and play based on the soil sample reports instead of helical because of the lateral load. Well, survey is like your drawings from the engineer and the survey is not lining up because I have an easement. I have a 3-foot easement on the left side of the fence and then a 5-foot from the back side of the fence.
Oh, that's nice. Like, we only have 3.
I'm like, no, bullshit. Give me that. So I take the engineer plans. I start scaling it. Skeleton fence. I'm like, motherfucker, because I'm scaling it now on the job from the back patio instead of the house. House is lining up perfectly. F-ing patio is off by 4 foot. So I'm like, pull off. Don't set it, even though I know I can just adjust it by 4 foot. But now my scale is wrong. So I'm like, what the shit? So then I call a new survey out there to do it with the patio, get brand new survey, easements, brand new everything. So I pay $500. That takes 2 weeks to get somebody out there. Get that done, put it in my pool studio, readjust everything, send it back to the engineer. Engineer redoes everything, sends it back to me. By this time, it's taken like an extra month to do between all of this. So that gets done. Site surveys back out, put the piers in. The pier company doesn't go down far enough in the piers at first. So then I had to have them redo the damn piers on certain ones. And then they leave the piers, the rebar sticking out of the piers because they're cast and play, right? So we got rebar instead of cutting them to level like they're supposed to. And then when the concrete was built up where the piers are, based on my measurements, right, I should have only had about, let's see, we had to do double mat rebar. Then we had to do the dig, which was supposed to be 9 foot deep. Then we had to do the piers. So then we had to do void boxes as well on top of this. So this pool ain't going nowhere. Let's get that fixed. Then void boxes. Everybody that knows void boxes cannot get wet. Oh, back up. I skipped a step. So we got the piers in. We did the piers before we did the dig. So we did the dig. The guy, I decided to go, I don't know why it's a bad business decision on my part, but what the f***. I hired a new person that this was a referral from another pool builder. Like, oh, this guy does great work. He needs more things. And my other dig guy was super busy. I'm like, look, I'll give you a chance. You know, I've never used you. You came referred. This motherfucker, to dig out the spa, he used a bucket. One bucket.
What?
And said the spa was done. I fucking shit you not.
Wait, one bucket full or like just use a bucket and a... He think you're that stupid?
I'm like, what is this? You seriously think that this is a spa, a bucket full? Are you fucking kidding me? So I call my excavator. I'm like, hey babe, it's Heather. I got a job I need you to come fix because... you weren't available for me, so I decided to give a new person a try. all I could say is, I'm sorry, and I'm going to pay you as if it's a new dig, because it's going to be a new dig once you see this. He's like, Heather, it can't be that bad. I'm like, motherfucker.
You're like, I'm sorry for cheating on you.
Oh, God. So, well, I have 3 dig companies that I normally use. And Grizzly is the one that I love to use because they're super fast. He's on time to clean up. I just love working with them. And he was like, Heather, your pictures don't do this job justice. This is the worst dig I think I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I told you. I f***ing told you. So.
Did you get your money back from the other one?
I didn't pay him. Why are you even saying
okay, that? Good. Because I'm just like, if it's that bad.
I didn't pay him. And I told him. I flat told him. Because if I'm not going to pay a contractor, he's like, well, give me the chance to fix it. I'm like, motherfucker, you should have done it at least halfway right the first time. You can't fix this. You want him to fix it? You can pay my engineer $400 an hour to come stand here and tell you how to fuck dig. Because I'm...
Yeah.
So, we got that fixed. All right. Grizzly goes out. Gets it put up. Well, now the rain starts to hit at this point. Because I'm already behind. Because normally I've got steel, plumbing, dig, done in 4 days. Like, max, done, out the door. Rain starts. This pool is caving in. So then we had a good day. So I'm like, I don't want to get the excavator back out here to dig out the cave-in. Because it caved in quite a bit. So I've got my guy, I've got four of my employees out there hauling dirt out the pool from the cave-in. Got it done, reformed, ready to go again. Been again, caving again.
Oh, I remember seeing the pictures, and I'm just like, this is going to be a mud pit, and not very long.
So I get the excavator out there. I'm like, you got to hit it on the other side of the fence now at this point, because you can't go in, because I've already got my other shit down, and you can't get the excavator in there. He's like, Heather, we can't. We'll try to build it back up. I'm like, no, because then I'm messing with soil compacticity, which is another issue, because the soil is already shit, so I don't want to deal with that. So then we remove the other side of the fence. Then remove the other side of the fence, move our shed out the way so the big ass excavator can come in so we can get that long ass arm at the top. Remove it all out. Well, at this point, Chris and I are just pissed at this point. We have all these cave-ins. So the engineer comes out, checks it. We got this done. I'm like, okay, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So the engineer's like, okay, well, he's there with a new excavator, right, with my excavator. He's like, okay, we need to check this and this because this pier is wrong, so you need to dig out this, so we're doing all this. Well, then... None of us checked the depth of the goddamn pool. None of us. Because we're so pissed at this point.
Yeah, you can't see clearly when you get to that level of just fed up. Now, here's a question. Was this house like built on top of like an Indian burial ground or something to jinx you? Like,
oh my God.
What did you guys do to deserve this?
I don't know. So then... engineer's like, okay, we need to fill it up where the piers are. You're only supposed to be, 6 to 8 inches below from the bottom of the piers. Well, actually, it would need to be more than that because I had void boxes, I had double rebar, then I got plaster, then I had my shotcrete, right? So we did all the math for all that. So we made it correctly. Then I had to chip hammer all the f***ing piers because they were all way too high. So then we had to go and chip hammer all this shit. And I'm just compacting it down. So I get my compactor down there and I'm compacting it all. And the homeowner's like, get steel in. And the homeowner's like, oh, and we shoot shotcrete. Because I do shotcrete, not gunite. She's like, Heather, have you checked the depth of the pool?
That far in?
I'm like, I mean, it's not her job to check my shit.
Right.
I'm like, what? Wait a minute. We had like four caves in. We had pier stuff. We compacted the shit.
Yeah.
Check the goddamn depth? I asked Chris, baby, hubby, did you check the of the pool? No, I thought you did. Oh,
so how deep was it?
7 foot.
And what was it supposed to be?
9.
Aww.
So, at this point, and her only thing was like, I want a 9-foot pool. Like, that was her big thing.
Well, and that's probably why she noticed it.
And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what do we f***ing do? I've never had a 2-foot difference. I'm like, half a foot I can deal with, right? Because I'm within standards, between, half a foot to less.
Yeah.
I'm like, but that's 2 feet. Call Vito with base creep. I'm like, Vito, I f***ed up. What do I do? I have an idea. I know what to do, but I want to make sure this is correct because I don't want cold jolts.
Yeah.
He's like, Heather, what did you do last time? I was like, I didn't do this last time. He's like, okay, let me rephrase this. When you remodeled the pool and you called me on it and you had to fix the beam and build it back up, what did you do? And so I told him, like, we staggered rebar. We put flex epoxy on there. Did that. Staggered my rebar down in there. So many feet. Did that. And then shotcrete. And then rebuilt the whole beam. And so he was like, well, do the same thing.
I'm like, can I do that? And he's like, how long ago did you shoot the shotcrete? I'm like, about 15 days. He's like, okay. Have you waterproofed it? I'm like, yeah, I waterproofed, you know, I did the silicate at the beginning. And then we waterproof on day 15 or day 30, whatever day I have that set for. He's like, okay, we'll just come back in and shoot that. So we built the beam up.
Okay.
So we're not at full 9 foot depth because I can't build that beam that far up, right? So we had no cold joints, thank God. I was so worried about that. But I had to add a step in our tanning ledge because the tanning ledge now would not have been. And we built that tanning ledge up a little bit more. And then built the beam up. And so now we're at 8.9.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, God.
Ugh. You. Like,
yeah.
What'd you do?
And then we fixed that, got that done. Shotcrete left, right? I use Billy for shotcrete. He's great. And then we move on. And I'm like, okay, when can I backfill this pool, right? Because I don't want this patio dirt keep. So hubby then decides to chicken wire, do a hot flash on this fucking pool. Before, we did this before we shot the shotcrete. Let me back up, so I'm kind of jumping, right? Because we didn't want any more cave-ins.
Right.
So we kind of rigged our hot flash, right? Because the homeowner didn't want to pay for a flash for shotcrete. And I don't blame her. It's like $5,000. So.
Oh, wow. Because the one we just did, it was $1,000. Just for them to flash it.
Here's minimum $5,000.
Oh, wow. So, maybe I'm in the wrong business.
No shit. So then Chris, like, fuck, just one side.
Oh, wait. I think the one thing we do need to mention, what is flashing?
Oh,
flashing is when you dig your pool and you're still working on it, but hey, it's gonna rain. So to try and avoid stuff like this happening, like she had, where things are caving in, your wall's going nowhere, you have the guniter or shotcreker, however, I don't know what you call it, the shotcreker. You have them come and they'll do a thin layer around the pool. That way, the chances are less that this is going to cave in. Now, I don't know what a hot flash is. What is a hot flash? Is that where you take like a bag of concrete or shotcrete and you just throw it on the wall?
So technically, yes.
Okay.
Yes and no. So obviously when you flash, right, it's that thin layer of shotcrete and gunite, like you said, to keep the walls intact and the sole in place. And anticipate for rain. So it's, we didn't have to deal with that. Hubby's like, I'm going to do this myself and see what the fuck happens. I'm like, it's never going to work, right? I'm like, this is never going to work. This is going to look like shit, blah, blah, blah. He's like, it'll work. Watch. I'm like, okay. So we go and buy chicken wire. Real fucking chicken wire from Home Depot. I'm unrolling this bitch and cutting it with a pair of dykes. Two of my employees and hubby are mixing concrete and throwing the shit. We're laying the chicken wire out and he's throwing
it. He's throwing it, yeah.
Throwing it and letting it fall down the sides and just throwing it on there. So now we got this whole wall section of fucking chicken wire and handmade concrete. It fucking worked, though. It didn't cave in again after that. Because we still had like a week after that, and it rained again two more times. And then we covered the entire, I mean, of course, we covered the fucking pool and it still caved in. But this time, and I use like the 6 mil or 8 mil. I forget, but it's the thick shit.
Yeah.
So then I got like two big ass rolls of that, and we did like the whole thing. Then we went in the bottom of the pool, and then we stuck a stick up so it would roll off of it instead of caving the shit in. And then we used, you know, gutter directions. We used the water. I mean, we used so much shit on this pool.
You're like, please just last so we could get you nice and solid.
Oh, my God, yes. So we finally go. And then we had to wait because the ground had to dry because void boxes can't get wet. And you have the vapor barrier. You got the void boxes. Then we got to cut all the void boxes. And we're having to cut around all these damn piers and get the piers lower to match the level that it's supposed to be because the lateral load for these piers. And I'm just like... So I call my void box rep. I'm like, y'all have got to make a fucking waterproof void box. Like, it was to the point Chris and I went and got this fucking heavy plastic and the shrink wrap and started wrapping all these fucking boxes. I'm like, I'm done. I've got to move on. And I called my engineer. I'm like, hey, just so you know, Travis, I'm shrink wrapping all these fucking boxes and wrapping them so I can lay them down on the goddamn ground. I'm done. He's like, Heather, I have to tell you, I'm not for that, but I have seen people do that so they can't get behind because it can't get wet.
Right.
Then we finally got a break in the goddamn weather. Got it down, got the shotcrete down, you know, did all that. And then the electricians that come in on the plumbing side and plumbers.
Oh, that bubbler, genius.
Did the bubbler at the wrong height. So then they had to fix that. Then they did the skimmers. We had to redo the skimmers because of the depth of the beam, right? So we fixed that. And then when they redid the skimmers, they did it at the wrong height a second time. So they had to fix that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, your measurements are off. It's not hard to measure.
Yeah.
Then we're sitting, right, waiting, doing the waterfall, doing that, how to do the pad, you know, doing the plumbing, doing the equipment, you know, all this that we're doing while the good night's curing, because I actually take my 30 days for curing, watering it down, you know, set up my sprinkler hoses.
Yeah, but it's good to take those extra steps when you're building this pool so that it will last longer. You know, if you cut corners, it may fail too soon, but you know, you and your company, you guys take pride in your work. Like, I think that's a crucial thing. Like, I get time is money and you want to try to get these built as fast as possible, but quality of workmanship is definitely going to keep you going longer than if you just are like, let's just dish it out in 2 weeks. Like, when people complain, oh, I waited 3 months for this pool, I'm like, 3 months, that's good. Like,
yeah, our average build is between 3 to 4 months because I factor in weather and cave-ins and issues that may happen, you know, start to finish, you know, for sure 60 days. Because there's a company here that's like, I built your pool in 30 days. And I'm like, that's just, you can't.
I saw a post recently where the pool did look good, but they were proud that they got it done in 7 weeks. And I was like, okay, was this a remodel? Because remodels, they could take a lot less time because you're not building the structure.
2 months is good. You could do a pool in 2 months. Have curing times because you've got your surveying is done on day one, survey and dig. And then you're going to have your plumbing, your steel, and your shotcrete all should be done within a week. And then while your shotcrete's curing, you need to be, you know, silicate added as soon as that shotcrete's shot. And then you've got your waterproofing.
Yeah.
And then once your waterproofing is done, then you go in with, you wait a few days for your waterproofing. You don't do that immediately. Then you'd be doing your decking, your waterfall, your equipment, your electrical, your gas, you know, all of that. And then once that's done, then about that time, you just go and shoot your plaster. So now you're at, you know, day 45, and then shoot your plaster, and then do your punch list, and you're done.
So
it's time. And then you got your concrete. You know, if you're doing your concrete, then you've got 30-day wait on the concrete stuff, too. And then you got your inspections in between all that, of course.
Okay, so back to the death pool. You went through the nightmare of even getting it to shotcrete day. She made it partially to plaster day. And now she has to start her equipment up.
Oh, my bejeez. Okay, equipment started perfectly wrong. So I'm having to call Kelly because I can't get the damn Hayward pumps to fucking turn on. It's going on and off, on and off. And I'm like, what the shit is this doing? So I'm calling Kelly. I'm like, electrician did all this. I don't know enough about electrical to mess with this, and hubby's not with me, but I gotta get this pump turned on. And sure enough, the damn pump did not toggle. They had the data cable. Where the
They ended up doing was so she had a full Hayward system with an Omni, I think it was Logic or PL.
Logic,
and she has two pumps. So the electrician wired, you know, 240 volts, the high voltage was fine. There's nothing wrong with that at that moment. But on the communication side, they wired it as if it was a four wire with Hayward. When you're wiring it to an Omni system, it's only three wire. So yellow, black, and the comm wire, which is usually a bit or gray. So she had to fix that. They plugged in the standalone display on the pump with the automation, which, yes, back in the day with EcoStar, you could do that, but you can't do that anymore. So we had to take that off. So what was happening was the automation and the display were like fighting with each other of who should be controlling this pump. And he did it to both of them. So she's calling me freaking out. What the f*** is going on here? I hate this equipment. It's not working right. I'm like, well, let's calm down.
I'm so mad.
I think by that point, you were just done with that pool.
Hands down, I was. I was like, if one more f***ing thing goes wrong, I'm going to stick dynamite in here and just throw the bitch up, because I was done. So then that's not even the best part. So we get this. Well, then the filter starts leaking like crazy. Belly band, O-ring, all that. And then there's a pinhole in the housing of this brand new filter. So now I've got it started up. Finally got that fixed with water squirting out the fucking building.
So quality control, that's all I can say.
I call SCP and I'm like, do you have another of these? Because it's a 70-30 car control.
Yeah, Hayward. The big guy.
And I'm like, do you have another one? They're like, we don't, but Jetline does up the road in Capel, which is a good 30 minutes from Plano, maybe 45, depends on how fast you drive. I'm like, oh my God. So now I got to drive all the way over there. So my rep's like, look, I got to go over there tomorrow. I'll grab it. You can come pick it up and you can just swap it back.
She's lucky. She has an amazing rep. Me and her have the best reps ever. They will do almost anything for their customers.
But it wasn't the Hayward rep. It was my SCP rep. But yes.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's SCP. So for some reason, not all areas have really good reps. Some of them I hear, they're like, I don't talk to any of my reps because none of them can help me. And so when you get people like my SCP reps, if I say I'm in that dire need like you, they'll be like, yeah, I'll go do it. You know, it's just a matter, I guess, when you decide to live somewhere, you better make sure you like your reps before you move there.
Right? Yeah, no, all of my reps. I love all of my reps. All my local reps are great. And my BDR at SCP is phenomenal too. I know a lot of people will hate their BDRs, but I freaking love Scott's my BDR. Fucking love him. He's great. So he goes and gets the filter for me. I run to the SCP plane and go pick it up. Hubby then takes it back to the job site, unloads it, puts this new filter on, gets it started. Great. And then we're coming to the issue with the chemistry now. And the lights weren't working because they had the lights on the wrong relay. That was fun. Because this homeowner really wanted to see these pretty lights that we put in. All the nicheless. There was like 7 lights in her pool.
Yep. So she gets the lights going. Her pool's starting to clear. Hell has not taken over her just yet.
Oh my God.
So.
And then today.
Oh no, there was the other day. We thought we were in the home stretch. Remember? You're like, Kelly, let's just program this, you know, talk me through it. No problem. Talking her through it. And everything seemed to be working at first. But then all of a sudden, the HydroPure is not working because she had a HydroPure, which is their AOP system. And she's like, Kelly, it's not turning on. I'm like, well, did you go in there and make sure all the wires were plugged in and stuff? Because when you get the HydroPure, there's a wire that's disconnected that goes from the board to the screen. And they do that because they were having issues where they had it plugged in and it would break during transportation. So she's making sure of all of that. Come to find out, the electrician did not wire things correctly. So every time we would get power to it, it would trip, right?
Oh, yeah, because he put the 2 VS pumps and the HydroPure on one breaker. That's a
which GFCI you cannot do
30 amp. And then, oh, my God. Then we go out there today. So we get everything programmed except for that. And I didn't set any schedules or anything like that, but I did that today. So meet the electrician out there, and this guy wants to argue with me. And I don't give a fuck about confrontation. Brian's out there with me. Chris is out there. And I, unfortunately, don't know enough about electricians, you know, electricity to know a shit ton. Like, obviously, this electrician supposedly is supposed to.
Well, on all of your double-pole GFI breakers, they had multiple wires coming out. And what I mean by that is, from my understanding, code says you can only have one wire on each pole go up. If you want to put multiple things on that breaker, depending on amperage, because you know you don't want to max it out, you need to send it to the relay and then daisy chain to the next one so it gets the power from the same breaker. But this guy just thought, oh, let's just put a bunch of wires in these breakers and hope for the best.
He had the neutral wrong, which is why it was tripping it.
Tripping. I remember I was like, is neutral wire on the right spot?
Yep, it was not. And then when I sent the picture to Dan, I'm like, Dan, something is still wrong. He's arguing with me. So I'm like, Dan, send me the code for this because I've been told that it has to be on a single pole breaker. Dan's like, no. So we looked up the code. He's like, no, you know, it's double wire, blah, blah, blah. So then he's like, but wait a minute, Heather. He's got this main thing wired with 12 gauge or whatever he told me. And it's supposed to be 8 or 10.
Oh, the main power going in?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Wait, he had, okay, 12 gauge wire is what you would use for viewers to understand. Okay, your breaker for your pump, you can you do a two pole 40 amp breaker, right? Or two, and that can have 12 gauge wire on it going to the pump. But let's say you have a heat pump, for example, where you need a 50 amp breaker. You have to put a 6 or an 8 gauge wire on that breaker so it can have enough power. So pretty much what Heather's having happen is there's not enough freaking power going to this box to be able to run what you had, two pumps, two variable speed pumps, control system, HydroPure, how many valves, two or three?
Two actuators.
Two actuators and seven lights.
And a blower.
And a blower. That's a lot. So one of those boxes can do up to 125 amps. So to have 12 gauge wire, if you look, there's a book called Uglies, and there's actually a...
I have it.
Good. They have a grid that will tell you, based off of how many amps you're putting in that box, how big the wire needs to be. Yes, you can downsize one step. That means if you're supposed to have a 6, you can have an 8. But no. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so then we're arguing back and forth on this, and hubby's like, this is not right. He'll fix it because I'm not going to back down. So I've texted him from hubby's phone. I'm like, look, this and all this needs to be fixed. And then I'm having issues on the app once we get everything programmed. The water feature pump is not turning on and off. So once we open it from the app, because it keeps losing its signal from the app.
Yep. Okay.
So he didn't put the data cable that came with the controller. Instead, he uses an Ethernet cable. So it's losing its control. You know, it's losing its signal. And I'm like, we left the data cables there because it was all in the new box. Why didn't you put it in there? Why are you using an Ethernet cable? You know, so we're going over all that with him today. And it's just been one thing after. But the pool is f-ing clear, so that's great.
Well, at least that's going on. So the customer's not like, what the is going on with my pool? It's green. The equipment doesn't work right, you know. So at least it's clear and she can see her pretty flower at the bottom.
Yeah, she's got this huge hibiscus. She has been the most sweetest and awesome customer, you know, throughout this whole thing. And she just loves Chris to death. It's so adorable. I'm just like, thank you, Chris, for being hot. Because I swear to God, if it wasn't for that, she'd probably be all up my ass.
Well, you definitely have had an experience. I definitely think that people can really learn a lot from your experience, such as man up when you need to, when people try to you that you're wrong. Because didn't you say he was like, oh, I back my employees, like there's nothing wrong?
He didn't so much as say that, but you could have like Chris afterwards, he was like, babe, did you read his body language? I'm like, no, I'm too pissed at this point. I'm fucking boiling. I'm like this and this. Because why we're there, because Chris told me enough and Brian told me enough. I'm going through all this shit with him on the job site. I'm like, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This gauge is supposed to be here. And Chris is just standing back. Like, once I got to the point where I'm like, I don't know anymore. Brian and Chris stepped in, you know. But Chris is like, you could read his face where he was like, you could tell he was pissed about what his employees did.
Yeah.
Because every time Chris asked him, well, why did your guys do this? Because when I wire shit, because we wire controllers all day long. Right. You know, but I paid you a lot of money to do this, and now I'm having to go back and fix it, and it's causing issues and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so Chris is like, if you didn't notice, his face was like, oh, shit, me face. And he didn't believe, he couldn't understand why his guys did that kind of deal. But he didn't say it. But right. He could tell.
Okay. So at least he could, at least in the body language, acknowledge that his guy f***ed up.
Yeah. Hubby was like, Hubby killer Chris was like, this motherfucker.
Well, this will be interesting to hear the final thoughts, hopefully on one of your hump days, of it being done and the customer's happy and she's inviting you to her pool party.
Well, she already has. She has the hots, I think, for Chris. And she's single. She's divorced. And she's always having him do stuff around the house. Like, do this, do the lights, do whatever else happens. And so I think it's cute. But overall, I think she's happy as it is right now. And hopefully we don't have, you know, any other issues going on outside of that. Because we just have our small little punch list stuff done, which is like finishing the little ceiling on the waterfall and sealing the pavers. And then I've got to raise the water flow, the autofill up a bit because it's too low since we raised the beam. So
yeah,
outside of that, it's done.
Well, I thought this would be great for you guys here so that you can learn how to manage these things and that everybody has things happen. It's just a matter of how you deal with it. You could write a book on this pool.
Oh my God, I could. I totally could. But hubby got us out of a lot of the shit because I'm over here freaking the fuck out. I'm like, this isn't code, this isn't that. And he's like, I got you, baby. Just shut up and let me do it. And when I get to that point, he just has to push me away, you know. And that's one thing I absolutely love about him.
Thank you, Chris, for not allowing your wife to go to jail for murdering somebody.
Oh my God, yes. Because I was so mad. But he handles those situations a hell of a lot better than I do. Like, when I start getting stressed like that and I'm freaked out, comes to my mind, it's like $$$$, right? Yeah. And his mind is like, okay, I don't give a shit what your engineer says. Fuck your engineer right now. This is how we're going to fix it. This is field work. This isn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're still within code and guidelines and blah, blah, blah. And of course, we had engineer come out and just double check everything just to make sure I do on all my pools. And he was like, yeah, okay. I'm shocked that f***ing chicken wire worked, but it worked well. And, you know, where you...
Hey, I didn't know what flashing was until probably 2 weeks ago.
Really?
And yeah, because, well, now that I took my Genesis class and I'm helping my dad on a pool he's building. Right. So I get to see what I learned in the field on things that I already didn't know. So it's kind of, yeah, they're like, oh, we're going to flash it. And I'm just like, what the hell is that? And and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I didn't know about this. And I call my friend Nick and I'm like, oh, I learned this. And he's like, you haven't heard that from me? Like, I don't remember. It's kind of cool though. But yeah, my dad had explained that there's two ways of doing it. Like you had said, where, you know, you have the one where they come out or you have the one where you throw it on the walls and hope for the best. But yeah, we got it for a lot cheaper than you did.
Well, you can flash it with Gunnight for cheaper than you can shotcrete. But I just...
Maybe shotcrete is so much better
in my opinion, because it's less human error in shotcrete and the cold joints. You get hardly any cold joints with shotcrete. You get like practically none. If gunite's done correctly, you're not supposed to get cold joints. But also, if you don't have that blowpipe, like, you get a lot of rebound back in gunite versus shotcrete. So if that blowtorch isn't done properly on that gunite, it's going to be bad. And with shotcrete, there's very little rebound. You still get a little bit, but not nearly half as what you get with shotcrete or gunite. So
that's from what I'm told, with all the rain we've been having here in California, it's holding up. Like, yes, the main guy has to go out there and pump the water out almost every day, but it holds water, and there has been no collapse of the pool. So that's been really
nice.
That's
the point of it. Yeah.
So,
because otherwise homeowner would be forking out a lot more money to reshape that pool.
Oh yeah. Really nice guy, but no, we don't want to do that. So some of the things that I thought was great for you guys to hear is these things happen to all of us. And what I mean by these things is more of like, all of us have where things Heather happen. You know, I have the times where I, as Heather said, there are times when she has, all of us have, Rudy, Andrea, Wayne, you, the next guy, you know, I don't care who you talk to. There is not one person who hasn't messed up in their life. A lot of my education that I got was from messing up and then learning the hard way because, yeah, like you said, dollar sign, dollar sign, dollar sign. Unfortunately, that's what it is. So educating yourself on this stuff, shadowing people to see how things are done correctly, and just admitting when you do wrong, it's a lot better than saying it's someone else's fault all the time. And this is another great...
Don't ever say it's somebody else's fault all the time. I can't stand when people do that. It pisses me off. Like, take f***ing responsibility for your own actions. I plastered a pool like a month ago. We got finished plastering it in end of November. And I just did her video testimonial today. And one thing that she told me today, which kind of threw me for a f***ing loop. So when I sold my cleaning route, she was one of my cleaning customers.
Okay.
And we'd already had a contract going for the remodel. So that kind of voided that non-compete when we sold it. And she's like, okay, well, then the company that I sold the cleaning route to sold it to another company a year and a half, 2 years later. And then that new company that took over that I didn't have anything to do with, she was telling me so much shit about this guy, this company in particular, like not taking responsibility because her pool kit, this was before the plastering okay. was done. And they were like, oh, this is, we keep getting algae. They keep getting algae in the fall.
Okay.
Like, in the fall of all places. And so she told the new guy, she's like, well, when Heather and Swim Carefree did my business, we didn't have this issue. Why are you having it? All you're doing is telling me this is normal.
But oh, don't they say they blamed you.
They had no issues. Like, no, like they had no issues with us, but.
No, I mean like the new company.
Yeah, right. So why is it? Oh, well, it's normal because its leaves get in the pool. And so it causes algae. That's what they told her. No solution, no fix. It just bloomed algae like all the time. And so she called me and she was like, or not called me, but she called me today whenever I was there doing the video testimonial. She's telling me all this. And I was like, Terry, her name is Terry. I'm like, why didn't you call me? You know, I would have told you. She's like, well, I knew you weren't doing the maintenance anymore and I knew I couldn't get you back, even though I told you I'd pay you like triple your amount just to clean my pool because I hated everybody. You know, she's like, you're the only company that I really liked working with. And she goes, and that's why I waited, you know, for y'all to replaster until I fired him to found somebody new, because it was always one issue after the other with them.
Yeah.
And then like when they did their filter clean, he didn't put it back together right. And it took them weeks to get back out there to put the filter back together to stop draining our pool. I'm like, you should have really called me for that. I'd have been over there that same day and just put it back together and just been done with it, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I don't understand why companies just don't take responsibility. When you screw up, just own up to it and be like, okay,
I'm sorry.
And so I told her today, I'm like, well, the reason you didn't have algae with us is because you have high phosphates. We treated your phosphates.
Yeah.
That's why. She goes, well, I asked them about that and they said my phosphates were fine. I said, I highly doubt it. I said, because your pool is prone to it and we treated it. That's why you never had it. She's like, why don't people just say that then and just be honest? I'm like, because they think that the ramifications or whatever is going to be bad or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but if you're honest, a lot of times they, as long as it's not a repetitive, like all the time, yeah, they're going to be understanding most of the time. But stop saying it's everyone else's fault. Just man up, woman up, and get done what you need to get done. But, you know, make sure you have people you can trust to ask questions when you don't know, because there's still things I don't know.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the Pool People's Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.